This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Busy hour coming up. A ton of games to hit in the National Football League. Ryan Kramer is going to join the program, co-host of the Sports Gambling Podcast. A lot of great bets to get into with him at that time. And right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line as the fantasy guru, John Hansen, joins the program. His show is called Prop Points. And it's on Monday through Friday right here on VSiN at 1 o'clock Pacific time. And we understand, thanks for the time, John. Happy New Year. Yeah. I understand that you're fighting kind of like Jerry Seinfeld. He had a streak of not vomiting
exactly.
for so many years. You haven't had the flu, you told us, during the football season for like more than three decades?
32 years. I've never been really sick during the football season because my body knows that, you know, I got four kids. I'm the sole breadwinner. My body knows, my brain is like, dude, it ain't happening because everything falls apart. So, I'm staving it off. I've got people in and out of the house bringing in illnesses left and right, but we'll see if I can stave it off. If I can't, well, at the very least, it happened in week 18 here.
There you go.
I got one more big article to write, and then we're good for the playoffs.
There you go. There's nothing worse than just a bad flu bug, man. Oh, God. I had it in 2019, right before we were told about COVID, and I swear to God, I had COVID. It was in December. Never been that sick in my entire life for like 4 days, just completely out of it. Okay, so let's go to JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, the odds-on favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year. We all think here that he's going to be in store for another big game tomorrow night against the 49ers. He's had one clunker the entire year. That was a month ago against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's been pretty much as reliable as anybody. In your opinion, 94.5 this week at FanDuel, too low?
I think it's a good number. I think it's very, very doable. You know, this is the time of the year, right when the season ends, I start thinking about my taxes, basically. And speaking of taxes, I do believe that Sam Darnold can do multiple years worth of taxes while in the pocket against the Niners, who are dead last in pressure rate over expectation. Mm-hmm. And that is so massive for Darnold, as we know, as Viking fans know, he doesn't handle pressure all that well. He tends to kind of implode here. So that's big. Sam Darnold against the coverages that he'll see, cover three, cover four, which they run at a 60% clip, is averaging over 10 yards per attempt. Oof. So I think that bodes extremely well for JSN, who averages a gargantuan. I can't stress how big this number is. If this number was cut in half, it's still elite, but it's 4.46 yards per route run and 0.38 targets per route run, which is a ton against those coverage shells. JSN got them for 9 grabs for $1.24 in the matchup in early September. He has a 70-yard lead over Puka Nacua for the receiving yard title, so I think he's going to maintain that. He'll see a lot of Renardo Green, who is beatable. And look, they just got ripped. I loved Luther Burden last week. I didn't play the prop on any of the shows because it came out too late, but I did love Luther Burden last week, and he ripped him for 8 grabs for $1.38 and a touchdown. So I do think that JSN will get over to 100 yards again.
All right. Loveland hit him for a touchdown. And
Barner
had a touchdown last week. Does San Francisco have problems covering Barner?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, Paulie, he's kind of like their second receiver. I mean, I know that they've got Rashid Shaheed is expected to play, but he's been pretty solid. 3 or more grabs in 5 straight games. It's a workable schematic matchup for him. 1.62 yards per route run against cover 3 and cover 4, which they use 60% of the time, as I mentioned. And they give up, do the Niners, the 10th most receiving yards per game and the 10th most receptions per game. As you mentioned, Colston Loveland, I like Loveland too in the matchup, and he got him. So, you know, I think this is a very doable number. He tends to get, you know, right around this pretty much every week, but I like it here over 35.5. Let's just get to 36. Totally doable.
All right, Guru. I really like where your head is at with this bet as well. It's the early game tomorrow between the Buccaneers and the Panthers. Now, it's a little bit of a muddled backfield here for Tampa Bay with Bucky Irving, obviously. Sean Tucker can be very good as well. But look at this number for the rushing and receiving yards prop with Rashad White, and tell us what you want to do with it here.
Well, I'm going to hopefully not be like Charlie Brown, Lucy in a football over here, because it's almost too good to be true, but I'm going to go over 21.5. Carolina, over the last 5 weeks, they give up the fourth most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the running game only. They're slipping. It's worth plus 3.7 fantasy points, which could be 37 yards. In that same span, they're giving up 5.98 yards per carry on man or gap runs. And in that span, the five games, White has over nine yards a carry. So I'm pretty sure he'll get three, four, five carries. And let's not forget, Rashad is one of the best receiving backs in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost against Carolina 2 weeks ago. I know they're favored here, but they lost the last time out. So, you know, no one's going to be shocked if they're playing from behind, and he is their hurry-up back, basically. In this matchup 2 weeks ago, I liked it, the schematic matchup and the numbers so much that I played over on Rashad's rushing prop, and wouldn't you know it, he got it on his first carry. He ripped off a 39-yarder in this matchup 2 weeks ago. He's only gone under 22 total yards in three of 16 games. So final year of his rookie deal as well. And they love Rashad. So I think in an important game that they'll definitely get him some snaps out here.
Very good breakdown.
Yes. Yep. Excellent. Who eats as far as wide receivers?
I'm going to go with, I don't know if he's going to eat a lot, but as long as he gets to 35 yards, I'm good with Chris Godwin. You know, Baker Mayfield is really struggling out there. It's like early in the season, he had a complete clear picture of a snapshot that he studied, you know, in real time. It was like he was ahead of the defense. Lately, he seems a little lost here. He's struggling. And the Panthers have two very good outside corners. One of them, you know, Jackson, and of course, J.C. Horn is a stud. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's been looking inside a little bit more to Godwin. He's got 14 targets and 12 grabs the last 2 weeks, including this matchup. He didn't crush it in the matchup, but he had five grabs. And Carolina also gives up the 10th most receiving yards per game, by the way, to a slot receivers. He'll get a good matchup inside. And here's what I like in terms of his longest receptions, because he's making some downfield plays for Baker the last 5 weeks. 59, 13, 8, 21, and 31. Those are his longest receptions. So I'm very confident we can get to 35 damn yards here with Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Do your Vikings take the Packers behind the woodshed on Sunday? I think that they do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. I was all in on McCarthy as a finishing in terms of fantasy from weeks 14 through through this week, 18. I'm like, that's a decent little stretch there. It's the crunch time for that. I'm like, he's a QB1. And he was, but then he got hurt. So, but you know, J.J. McCarthy, by the way, has three touchdowns in 44% of his games. As bad as it's been. Think about that, and remember that for next year in fantasy drafts. J.J. McCarthy in a nightmare season in which his offensive line is decimated. Dude got three tutties in 44% of his games, so that projects very well next year.
Yeah, no question. John, fight off that flu as much as you can, obviously. Keep the fluids rocking and rolling. Enjoy the games this weekend, and thank you so much for the time. We appreciate that.
You got it. Good luck to everybody with those plays.
There you go. John Hansen, fantasy guru on the Progressive Guest Line. His show is called Prop Points Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern time. As he was talking about Baker Mayfield the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season, he was basically Bradley Cooper's character in Limitless. He needs to find that pill again.
Yeah, right.
So he can
great
see
movie.
Everything.
Kick-ass movie.
Absolutely, it was.
Loved it. Why the Giants down to 3.5? Robinson's out. They got their win last week. Dax beat him 14 in a row and 16 of 17. The funny quote about 8-8-1 is a lot better than 7-9.
Well,
7-9-1, and they're down to 3.5, plus the 15-1 over on the first half, which is, I think it's 24-25.5.
You want to run it back with that?
Yeah.
One more time, like it's going to matter for them?
No stops in this game. I don't see it.
Jackson Dart is down to 14-1 to win the Rookie of the Year. JBT brought this up on our podcast, Pot of the Futures, on Tuesday. His numbers actually full season blow away Tyler Shucks, believe it or not. Caught me by surprise. It's been a discombobulated season.
Yes.
But he's played more games than Shuck, actually. Don't so you, the numbers are there.
Well, the first game was incredible. when they played. Wilson was good. But I just think this is going to aerial circus again in this game. Giants want to win this game? Blow the pick? I mean, they got their win last week.
All these teams, that should be the mantra for Week 18. But again, I'm not in charge. You're not in charge. Like for Tennessee, does it really help you going into next year if you somehow go out there and beat Houston? Like, it's going to feel great for a day, maybe two. Does that mean anything for next year? Absolutely not. So why would you, like, try to go out there and win the game and then move down in the draft order? And you can say that about, you know, a ton of teams this week. By the way, Doug Kazarian coming up in about an hour, he said people are making, potentially here, a big mistake just assuming the Raiders are going to lose this game.
Does Kansas City help them out?
Yeah, first of all, the Raiders have to be good enough to actually beat a third-string quarterback in the Chiefs, which is easier said than done.
Are they going to move the ball? They're going to play Pickett and O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to get anything on the ground. Kansas City zoned them. But this boy, 0-7 ATS is a favorite. My God.
I would just say that based on previous years, they do it all the time.
After what happened last week, they executed it beautifully.
I know.
Set the key guys out.
If they do, that's the most Raiders move of all time.
Oh, terrible. Absolutely.
We'll hit more Week 18 games coming up next. You won't believe how rookie quarterbacks have done as big favorites going back almost 20 years. Details on that next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Vikings now sitting at 9.5 against the Packers. I think it's going to go to 10. It's going to be Clayton Tune for Green Bay against J.J. McCarthy for the Minnesota Vikings. This is the angle I was talking about moments ago. Since 2008, rookie starting quarterbacks laying 7 points or more are 33-1 straight up, 22-11-1 ATS, 67%.
What was the straight up?
33-1 straight up.
Get out of here.
Now, he can't win Rookie of the Year, but he still qualifies as a rookie, right?
Yeah. Fair enough. My God.
Favorites are 6-2 straight up in ATS, last eight between these two. I mean, it's going to be Clayton Tune.
And I know.
And this is where...
Against that defense, that's not going to go well. No.
This is an example of, I think, what would be kind of the exact opposite of what I said about Tennessee, because now Minnesota's picking middle of the pack anyway. And you, like in Tennessee's case, they know Cam Ward is like their guy. We still have too many question marks about J.J. McCarthy. And O'Connell wants to see as many data points as he can possibly get with this guy.
He wanted him to play.
100%.
Yeah, he's got him in a tough spot in the offseason. Put the organization in a tough spot, no doubt.
Now, if they didn't go on this five-game winning streak late, I would say lose, pick in the top five.
Can't believe this. Go over the win total with the win. Come on. Green Bay plus 360 on the money line. Also, the people that are left can use them in Survivor and feel good about it.
100%.
Plus, you're in a great hedge position. It's no more max. You know, the line's up to 9.5. It'll probably get to 10.
Yeah, and you can grab a 10, no doubt. And then, you know, right now, plus 375 on the money line. And as more people put Minnesota Vikings on teasers, well, or money line parlays, that'll probably even give you a better number on Green Bay to win it outright.
Does Cincinnati put it on Cleveland?
They have great numbers here.
They're on a 5-1 ATS run. They do allow 30 a game. I don't know what Cleveland's going to be able to do offensively. And the big question is, this was a huge price weeks ago. Is Garrett going to get a sack? Still needs a sack to break the record.
Should have been betting the no every single week. Okay. Mackinigan delivered as always, vsin.com. Cincinnati, this is in a rematch opportunity, meaning same year, second or third time against the same team. They're 21-10 ATS, last 31. Cleveland, in their last 42 same season rematch opportunities, 11-30-1 ATS. Cincinnati at home, last 18, 13-5 ATS. And there's also this, when these two teams play, the Bengals are 12-0 ATS versus Cleveland head-to-head the second or the third time around. They played in week one.
Yeah.
They play Sunday in week 18. So for what it's worth, historically speaking, they've absolutely dominated them the second time around.
I missed something earlier, too. Dak Prescott would be the first Cowboy quarterback to lead the league in passing yards.
Okay.
Go off.
So that's a big deal there.
I would think they could get him that
well,
too.
Well, he cannot have a big game from Stafford. I think they're
are
they
it's
neck
close.
And neck.
They are close. Stafford has a small lead. Also, Harbaugh, Jim, 10-0-1 run ATS in division games. 4-0 straight up in ATS as a dog going back as well.
Jimbo.
Yes.
Okay.
Big lot of points here, but it's your confidence level in Trey Lance, although Kramer's going to make the case for Lance coming up.
You know what that bet is. Do you like it?
What was it? First touchdown? Okay. What?
No, it's. I wanted to tease the audience. It's Lance to score a touchdown and to score two touchdowns.
Okay. That's your big boy.
The master of taking a grenade launcher to my teases.
You asked me a question.
The Saints playing at Atlanta. How about this?
I got to get off the game. I'm off the game now. All these guys are playing for Atlanta, and now you don't have Olave. I can't do it.
Well, maybe I can hold off. Let me see if I can twist your arm on that for 1 second. Best NFL road rematch teams lately. New Orleans, 18-2 ATS, last 20 on the road. 16-1 ATS stretch in revenge games. 9-1 straight up and ATS against Atlanta the second time around.
This really helps his case, though, as you said earlier, if they win this game. Down key guys and not having his stud Olave. 250 yards and no picks, 3 in a row. A 5-0 ATS run. For the game, they're on a 10-2 under run. If he closes here and wins the game and beats Atlanta and puts up numbers, throwing to who? Johnson? I got to make the case. I'm with Charge. What's the guy's name? Kevin Curtis? He had a touchdown last week. Who's he throwing to?
Yeah, that's right.
The guy had 60 yards and a touchdown. That's a guy I can make a case for with the Saints.
Yeah,
and Johnson should have a lot of targets too. But if he can, Atlanta's defense has had some good moments and strong of late. If he has, Kevin Austin. If he can win this game and throw for almost 300 yards, I think he's going to win it unless Henderson goes crazy or McMillan. I don't see McMillan doing that. Henderson needs 142 yards for 1,000. Maybe he rips off a couple big runs again.
Well, and then maybe they give him the ball 25 times to make it a big deal there.
Yes.
So, again, going back to last week, and I know that the people who cover the Saints, they're really trying to push hard here with tweets, social media posts, stories about how he has to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, it's a great story here, how he's finishing the season. But he was without, multiple offensive linemen. His top, like, other than Olave, like wide receiver 2, 3, 4, wide running back 1, 2, 3. I mean, he's missing everybody. So if Shuck goes out there with a patchwork unit and even in a loss puts together a good game, don't we look at that kind of like almost with Kyle Shanahan shades to it here where it's, well, Shanahan did this the entire year down multiple star bodies. And Shuck is doing this with no help on his team whatsoever. It looks good doing so, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, some incentives here. Tony Pollard needs 66 rushing yards to reach 1,100. That's a $250,000 bonus. His prop is right on the nuts. 65.5, 66.5, 67.5. But here's the thing again. They're getting a very good rush defense.
Yep.
And in theory, again, Jacksonville's favored by 7.5 in the first half. Like, what does that really mean overall? If they're getting blown out, is it like, well, this means a lot to Tony Pollard, so let's have him get his $250,000 and run the ball as much as possible? Or do they abandon the run and have Cam Ward try to go out there and look good passing the ball down by many points? Deebo Samuel needs 93 yards receiving to hit 800. That's 200,000. Now, I'm still waiting for books to post Deebo Samuel props. I don't see him posted anywhere. But I promise you this.
It is Johnson again.
Mariota is out.
Yep.
It is. If you laddered up to like 90 plus on him, and if he hits it, that's going to be a big payday because his prop won't even be anywhere close to 93. And Hunter Henry needs five catches for a $250,000 bonus, but his prop is always lined at 4.5 or 5.5 anyway.
Okay.
Some angles there.
Yeah.
Tennessee in a rematch is 6-2 straight up, 7-1 ATS against Jacksonville. Teams that won by 21 or more points in the opening game are 90-28 straight up, 72-46 ATS in the rematch. That happened here. The first time they played, that's 61%. That involves Jacksonville in this game. That involves KC against the Raiders. It involves Detroit catching three against Chicago. And the Rams laying 7.5 against Arizona. They blistered that team the first time they played them. And I could not believe this stat when I read it, but the Finns are 9-1 ATS last 10 against New England. The one loss was earlier this year when they blew the game.
Yeah.
I guess, weird
stuff like that. I know.
And then, oh, yeah, that's right. The Patriots were really bad without Tom Brady until this year.
Mm-hmm. Some of these are great. Some of these are also hard to get behind. Like the under in the Giants game with what's happened with both teams. I mean, Dallas gives up 30 a game, and you know they're gonna move it on the Giants.
Right.
So it's really hard to make the case for the under there.
Yeah, did you mention this earlier? Dallas 22-6 straight up, 20-8 ATS against the Giants since 2017.
I just mentioned the Dak numbers.
Okay.
Dak's beat them 14 in a row. Football meets flavor with Veasan and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/Veasan. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% off site-wide. Steaks, more. Check it out. The menu's incredible. All the options and the variety. OmahaSteaks.com/Veasan. Minimum purchase required. OmahaSteaks.com/Veasan.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in right now, the Seahawks are up to a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow on the road against the 49ers. I brought up the idea of maybe teasing the 49ers up to 8.5 in that spot. I don't love a lot of teaser angles, but maybe the Bengals down to 1.5. Maybe the Bills down to 1.5 in that game. The Vikings were still sitting at 8.5 at one book not that long ago. Down to 2.5, certainly I would like that leg, if possible. And
do the Eagles win with the backups?
That I don't know.
That's a short number with McKee.
FanDuel down to 3.5 on the game.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of like an exhibition game, right? So that dude has been good in previous preseason action.
Yeah.
So maybe that actually goes well for him. It's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Ryan Kramer on the program, first TD scorer savant, co-host of the Sports Gambling Podcast. He has a lot of tantalizing props that he lights for this week, and he'll give out some first touchdown scores for tomorrow's two games next here on VSiN. All right, let's roll up the sleeves, get a little dirty here. Big fan of our next guest. Ryan Kramer joins the program, co-host of the Sports Gambling Podcast, which you can hear Friday nights right here on VSiN, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock out here on the West Coast. And they do it 100 times throughout the week as well, which you can get wherever you find your podcast. Good to see you, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I feel it's an honor to be here. I'm seeing the papers in person.
Sure.
And a great job by Luke and the team with the Kramer graphic all year. We got the show on in the office every day. So are you saying
when you watch the show and you saw Paulie with the papers, you're like, what the hell goes on here?
Oh, I love it. Well, as someone who's a little bit analog myself, still like the paper pad, I appreciate the papers everywhere. So sometimes on the show, we like to pay homage to Paulie and spread some papers out.
All right, let's begin with the games tomorrow. Early game, Panthers-Buccaneers. You have an angle that you like here with Bryce Young, not throwing but running.
He's gone over his number 4 straight games. I don't know. This is everywhere between 14.5 and 17.5. try to get on the lower end, obviously, but he's been running more. The coaches are talking about how it's kind of unlocking his performances, and we see this with young quarterbacks. They figure out they got to run to unlock everything else, and it's a got to have a game, week 18. It's a little bit like the preseason. So looking to, I love quarterbacks and got to have it games. And so the idea, he just went over this number against the Bucs a couple weeks ago. I think likely that we're going to see something similar, maybe a messy game, kind of like both quarterbacks to move a little bit in this one. But Bryce Young go over in the rushing yards, Bryce Young to get in the end zone. I like him to be using his leg. He's kind of, you know, he was a good scrambler in college. And then he got to the pros and it was like, oh, he's so small. And then the coach is talking about it. They don't do the quarterback sneak because he's too small. But the last couple of weeks, he's looked a little slippery.
What does anytime pay on him?
The anytime, I think, is right around four-ish.
Okay.
I know it might actually be more because I know that I actually don't have the anytime in pocket yet, but I do have the two. And that's,
you have the two in pocket already.
That's, well, oh, I will say
6-1.
Two anytime touchdown props, you got to bet early because you go from 100-1 to 80-1, you feel like a chump. So, yeah, Bryce Young in pocket already. But, yeah, I think he gets loose.
Plus 550, 6-1 in some spots. Okay, anytime. Purdy got in twice last week, and he had six carries. What does Purdy do?
Well, and Purdy's the same thing. I think it's a got to have a game. I think we've seen he had that lull against the Colts, but those other two games, he's running a bit. He ran in the first game against the Seahawks. I believe he had four or five carries.
Yeah.
And I think just in general, the way this defense is probably going to be able to take advantage of the offensive line a little bit. I think he's going to know to get loose. He's getting the confidence. The coaches are talking about his dance moves and all this other stuff. So, yeah. I think much like with the Aaron Rodgers discount double check, big game, Brock Purdy knows that. And guess what? He's a great processor, so he'll know when the man coverage is there and there's a lane to run.
Okay, so I teased you as the first touchdown scoring savant better here on the network. Do you have any idea how many you've hit so far this year?
I've hit someone recently. It's 18.
What?
It seems impossible, right?
Yes, it does.
The thing is, I had early in the season when things kind of started going out of control. Wow. Not that I'm turning down the celebrity, but you hit two or three in a weekend, people start to expect it. So I appreciate the label, but yeah, we're still throwing darts here.
Yeah, they are tough bets to cash, and you were absolutely scorching hot to begin. 18's a great number, and so you tweet these out at KramerCentric for primetime games, but we have two of those tomorrow. Do you want to let us know who you're on?
I already
at this point?
Got the cards ready for you. And I'll give you a little, I'll pull back the curtain. The system is pretty simple. Really, I love backup tight ends, longer prices. And I love quarterbacks.
Yes.
I don't think they often give the quarterback credit, with the exception of the Josh Allen, Jalen Hurtses of the world. So
Davis Mills was like 20-1 when he got in there.
Think about Jared Goff. Yeah. Think about some of these moments where it's like they are the guy who's going to touch the ball probably first every time in those zones. So we just talked about Bryce and Baker. They're on the card because Bryce Young's 25-1. As if they haven't been watching the last couple of games, Baker's 30-1. He's kind of in the same boat. I think he ran for 46 in the last matchup. So they're both on the card. And then Tommy Tremble, I know there's going to be some Mitchell Evans talk probably at some point. He's an interesting prospect as well, but 22-1 for Tremble. And then Kadon, he's kind of been floating around, hasn't really done much. Great matchup this week against the Panthers. So the way that I play it, I chop my bet up into four. I play four of them. And so that's the early game. And then the late game, Purdy already talked about 27-1. I think this is a bad number, period. He should be in the teens. Kittle, 950. There's too much chatter, too much him kind of talking. And it's really, there's not a ton of good matchups against this defense. McCaffrey's the obvious choice. They give up space in the passing game to the running backs. But let's go Kittle with an alpha at 950. And then Rashid Shaheed cleared with the concussion. He's 18-1. If there's a weakness to this San Francisco defense, it's been the pass game. We've seen it recently. But specifically in those guys that are running the seams, those guys that are running the deep stuff. So the idea that Shaheed can catch a deep one early, 18-1, like the price.
And Sammy D as well, the other guy?
And yeah, getting to that one less. But Sam Darnold, 40-1, he's more mobile than people give him credit for. He doesn't get in the end zone a ton. He doesn't even run a ton. His yards are only 5.5. I kind of like that. You were talking about the quarterbacks earlier. I kind of like all the quarterbacks to run a little bit. So Sam Darnold at 40-1 to get in. And I know you don't like my defensive first touchdowns, but I will say I desperately had to avoid that in this San Francisco Seattle game because both quarterbacks seem like they're willing to get a little loose.
Oh, he curses your name during breaks.
I know.
when he sees
he's getting, not scores. Getting in my head, though. It's not get affecting my process. Not affecting my process.
I'm with you on the McCaffrey stuff. You like over receptions. I like yards over 40 yards, $1.40 at DraftKings. I think he has a ton of catches in the Seattle game.
It's easy to say they're going to want to take him away, but at the same time, the way Seattle's defense is structured, they take away everything else. And they sit there, and it reminds me of the old Bears defenses. Well, they'll let you get that two-yard catch, and then they'll smash you and do it again and again and again. And so McCaffrey having one of those 10 to 12 target games seems reasonable.
Okay. How nuts do you want to get here? What are we doing with Trey Lance?
Love preseason betting and love week 18 betting for this reason. You get these guys that are never going to start real games. And Trey Lance, we all know the story. Didn't really play a ton. You have to go all the way back to North Dakota State where, by the way, he ran a bit. He has multiple games over 50 yards, multiple two touchdown games. And look at what Justin Herbert's had to do.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line is not good. Trey Lance is probably going to try to throw the ball, but it's just not going to be there. You see the projections on the screen, 0.7 passing touchdowns, not very good. But his rushing number is not out yet. I love the yards, but his touchdown is plus 430. His two touchdowns found a 65-1.
Ooh.
Herbert found the end zone, and Herbert was using his legs a ton and encouraged to by the coach. I fully expect that Harbaugh is going to come out, encourage Trey to use his legs when needed. And that video just went viral where we learned that Harbaugh himself is the only sitting NFL head coach that has more rushing yards than Bo Jackson.
Yes.
And so, I think he loves to push his quarterbacks to run. I love the idea of Trey Lance getting one, but if you play one, you got to play two. So Trey Lance, two touchdowns, 65-1.
By the way, you mentioned the projections, OptAI stats, VSiN.com/NFL props. You see this with the INTs? They're projecting 2.3 INTs. He's $1.40 to throw an INT.
I mean, that's a great price.
Right?
I would not bet against that. Certainly, he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be under duress the entire game. And honestly, the rushing yards props for quarterbacks, in my mind, often correlates to the interception. And so those are kind of some fun, if you build in that same game parlay, you throw any time with Trey Lance to throw a pick, maybe something else in there, it probably juices it up pretty nicely.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Riley Leonard, rushing yards over.
Okay, this might be my favorite look of the entire week.
Yeah,
what I love about Week 18 too is you can sit and be like, the books are scared of us. They're not putting out the Riley Leonard numbers yet. Some of the pick'em sites have dropped a Riley Leonard between 14.5 and 16.5 rushing yards. He was a runner in college. He ran in the preseason. In fact, both preseason games, I believe it was 14 yards and 38 yards. But go back to his college, his senior year at Notre Dame. We all remember the national championship game where it was run left, run right. He had 16 games that season. In 13 of them, he had 10 carries or more. I think the yards is a fun bet and certainly laddering that. But I might look to the carries. If they're really going to put this game in read option, Jonathan Taylor and Riley Leonard, I think why not? Why not have him run the ball 10 times? I think you're not going to be using him next year, so this is that kind of game for me.
All I can do is think back to Riley Leonard last year with Notre Dame on that playoff run. He's taken off 10, 12, 15 times every game.
The game plan for Notre Dame last year was Riley Leonard and his legs.
Pretty much.
And it's Shane Steichen's offense. He's traditionally had a mobile quarterback, Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and it works better. I think the running game will be benefited too. Because Riley Leonard's in the game, we just have to avoid the interceptions.
Very good. You can follow Ryan on X. He's at KramerCentric. Does a great job, along with Sean Green, along with CJ Sullivan when he pops on the program as well. I love the first any many.
Thank you.
I love the ladder looks that you guys have every single week. And it's on again every Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time. And you guys do the podcast a bunch throughout the week as well. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Best of luck this weekend. On that note,
great job.
Paulie has added a bet during this show. At 13-1, it's not crazy at all. And this is in the Seahawks 49ers game tomorrow. He'll explain what it is coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for watching today on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Doug Kazarian on the program coming up at the top of the hour. He's going to make a case for a team to win their division at 50-1.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're the hottest team in the league at this point.
I'm jacked up for tomorrow because you're right, with essentially the winner in for the early game and then the one seed on the line in the late game. And the big difference between the one or even the six if the Niners lose.
Think about that.
I know. It's ridiculous, right? And then that garbage Carolina team could be or Tampa could be hosting a playoff game with a losing record. We both think McCaffrey has a big game. At Caesars and Will Hill, 5 yards rushing every quarter plus 105. 10 yards rushing every quarter is 3-1. You can ladder the receptions and the receiving yards as well, which we talked about how Seattle gives up a ton of yards and receptions to running backs. 25 yards each half is 105. 50 yards each half is 30-1. That's receiving.
Well,
that's receiving. 50 rushing is 8-1.
So
I mean, if you saw how great he was against the Bears, not to mention if I can, you know, try to one-up JSN and he can still win this Offensive Player of the Year, he could have a huge game here, and I think he's going to get a ton of opportunities.
Well, that was also the Bears' defense compared to the Seahawks' defense.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But I do think the Niners' offense is cooking to the point right now. And, oh, by the way, Shanahan has owned the Seahawks for pretty much the entire time that he's been in San Francisco. It's been one-way action there, one-way results, and that's been all that team. And Purdy, again, is just – What I really liked last week about Purdy is that he threw that INT to begin the game and just shook it off like a boxer taking one on the chin. He's like, that didn't hurt.
Yep.
Don't care. Unaffected.
Yep.
Came back and he went crazy. That didn't. There was the exact opposite a couple years ago when he was the MVP favorite on that Christmas night game against Baltimore. He threw one and it snowballed downhill and the kid was, he was Sam Darnold seeing ghosts out there. But
I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple weeks. I just, you know, stumbled into this market. I hit one last week in the Cincinnati Arizona game. No turnover. No turnover in the game Saturday night is 12-1. No turnover in the Sunday night game is 13-1. Now, I know you got 28 turnovers here with Seattle, but again, you're not going to see a pass rush. And he's going to have time to throw in a clean pocket.
You're going to have to avoid a possible time bomb, though, from Darnold.
Is it better Sunday night then at a better price?
Well,
Rodgers against Jackson, and it should be conservative, run the ball, give it to Henry, and Rodgers usually is short passes and doesn't force it.
Well, and Rodgers has been the best quarterback in history, not throwing INTs. I would ask you this, though. Are you a little bit, let's say that Henry gets 25 carries.
Oh, yeah.
The fumbleitis has been there.
Yeah, I know.
Been a problem.
That's an interesting price, though, don't you think?
That's a big number.
Yeah. It was 12-1 last week in the Cincinnati-Arizona game. So if you got some quarterbacks you trust with some lousy defenses that don't take it away,
right,
that's not a bad angle. And, you know, it could be a fluke as well, or just a silly fumble or something, or
sure,
but even something on the special teams. But that's something to look at, I also think, come playoff time.
I would also look at teams that are just overall, stat-wise for the entire year, very good at limiting turnovers against teams that are not good at taking it away.
Could I do it in the Bills-Jets game?
That's exactly what I was thinking of there.
The Bills won't turn it over. Jets won't take it away.
Yeah, but
I got to get help from Cook, though.
Yeah, you do.
He could probably throw an interception or two. But again, if it's like 14-1, though, I think he can bite on that.
Okay, so which one did you officially bet? Did you do both of them?
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yes.
Right. I'm looking at doing, how dangerous is it this week to do moneyline parlays or round robin of moneyline parlays? Well, like, which team screws that up?
I'm for the New York teaser. I'm for the money line parlays. I don't see a huge upset here.
Okay. Do the Browns possibly be the fly in the ointment against the Bengals?
Well, that's one game I wouldn't consider, though.
Okay. Well,
like the Bengals, but I'm thinking about more of the teams that need it. I thought you were going that angle. Even you could throw in Minnesota, too.
Well, that's, yeah.
But that's fine.
I'll do most of the big favorites here. Clayton Tune is going to go to Minnesota and beat the Vikings?
Not against that defense.
I don't think so either.
McCarthy.
Not with the way that they're playing.
Got it. Patriots, got it.
Yeah, okay. Are you a little concerned maybe about Houston with that offense?
No, they're going to move the ball. Not in this game. Not going to go well for Riley Leonard. I agree with Kramer. He's going to be running, though. They want to close strong with this winning streak, and Stroud hasn't played well. I think the big plays will be there for Houston offensively.
Could Jacksonville fall on their faces?
Can't see it. No way. At home to Tennessee? No.
Well, again, Tennessee's been one of the best teams covering numbers lately.
No. The offense is too good. 7-0 straight up in ATS.
How about the Rams?
Nope. I even feel good if they pull people because of Garoppolo. Arizona can't stop a nosebleed. Horrendous defensively. Harrison out as well. Other injuries on the defense. Did you see how easy that was for Cincinnati?
I know.
It's and Stafford MVP, too. Pad the stats, put up the numbers. McVay pissed. Let's look the part. Let's get our act together. Yes.
How about the Broncos going for the one seed?
Yep.
And no Justin Herbert here.
Could get ugly.
Okay, we're just talking about winning the game here. Again, not laying numbers.
I go back to last year. I think it's the same kind of deal. Kansas City sat everyone, and then they paid the backups, and it was 38-35-38-0.
Do you want to involve the Bills on moneyline parlays? Teasers? Because Josh Allen, again, he is off the injury report, and I think he's going to probably play at least a little bit in this game.
Yep. Again, I also feel comfortable with the backups there. That's how bad the Jets are.
So do I.
And whether you're going to say embrace the tank or however they're treating this, it was the worst point differential in NFL history in December. They were outscored by 107 points. They're the second team in the Super Bowl era to lose four in a row by 23-plus. They allowed New England to score a touchdown on their first six drives.
I know.
I don't get it.
That was their...
I don't get it.
Every time I watch like these teams play, and there's a bunch of them, I'm like, they're the worst team in football. And then the Raiders come on. I'm like, hold on a second. No, right. The Raiders are the worst team in football. I go back and forth like every week with a handful of teams and which one's actually at rock bottom.
What does think Andy Reid's thinking? Like the Raiders cannot win this game. But can Pickett make it? Still, they were good against Denver. The defense was solid. They only had 130 yards passing, whatever it was. But there was a big PI in that in a turnover. But I just, the Raiders can't do anything offensively. The one thing is, you don't have Geno in there. So the 17 picks go bye-bye. So maybe Pickett takes care of the ball.
So I'll bring this up. It could be absolutely meaningless nowadays, but when I worked in the Bay Area 12, 13 years ago, we would cover the Raiders, not as much as the 49ers, but the Raiders. And we would get former players on when it's Raiders week, right? So we'd get like Priest Holmes on, for example, when they would play the Chiefs or other former Chiefs, other former Broncos, and almost those two teams would specifically say, again, this goes back a good decade. It's probably not the same. Who knows? But we would ask him about how meaningful it was to play the Raiders. And again, the Raiders were bad for a good decade already. They're like, oh, it's Raiders week, man. We do not want to lose to this team. We hate them. And that's what like Broncos, former Broncos players and Chiefs players would say to a man every single time.
That's good.
But again, we're now in 2026, so I don't know if that's still the same thing. And the Raiders are actually way worse now than they were 12, 13 years ago. But there is that. Where these players with a bunch of pride, they don't want to lose to the really, really bad teams.
They beat them 9-10 and 14-16. But they've tied a record most losses as a favorite with 8.
Did you see this, by the way?
It's just the fan base is going to be furious if they win this game, especially how they looked last week. They did it beautifully.
Remember, go back to last year, the Chiefs 15-2, and they won all those one-score games. And if you flipped it, they would have had one of the worst records in the entire league. This year, if you flipped every single one-score result, the Chiefs would be the one seed in the AFC.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that crazy how
it
works?
That is. Do I have to twist your arm? I think New England pounds Miami.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to say the first half in game, Patriots take them out in a body bag.
Does that mean it's going to be a winner?
Yeah, you.
If I put my approval on it, it's going to be a winner?
Get the Patriots first half.
Okay.
Or for the game. This run's incredible, what they've done all year. And
how about first half money line parlays? How about we do those? Is it a full game?
Does someone screw around and have a bad half? That's not bad either.
Yeah?
Okay. The teams that need it.
Teams that need it come out first quarter or first half. First half, not first quarter. Yeah.
Profit X, number one sports prediction market. Some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds with a huge holiday slate. And and the playoff seeds and what's going to happen tomorrow. The perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today. Experience the future of winning. Promo code VEASAN to get started. Code VEASAN. Download ProfitX today. 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash. Get it now. Great sign-up offer.
You can always get in touch with the show on X at VEASAN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Pauly Howard. Up next, Doug Kazarian on the program. He's going to make a case for this team to win their division at 50-1, and I don't think it's crazy. Find out who he likes next.